what you came to do. I came to praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord.
I don't know what you came to do, but I
praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. But I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord.
Came to praise the Lord also. The Lord is good. He's great and greatly to be praised. Bless His name. Thank the Lord. I'm happy to be in the house of God tonight. I'm thankful for a place to come on a Wednesday night, a place to find refuge in a world that is full of turmoil and frustration, a world that's full of anxiety and fear. Oh, hallelujah! We can come in the house of God and rest under His covering and feel the love of God in our lives, and we know that we're not the only ones that God loves. But hey, He loves us, right? He sure does, and so there's no denying that. And the fact that He does love us gives us a reason to shout and to praise Him, to dance and feel happy about the goodness of the Lord. People rejoice and shout and dance about a lot of things. You know, ball games or, happy moments in their life, pay raises, or lively music or whatever. People do a lot of, they get inspired by a lot of things. But I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm inspired by the Lord. Praise God. I'm inspired by His love for me, and not just His love. It's not just, the love that I feel when things are going good, but it's also the love that I feel when things don't seem so good. When maybe my head's hanging low, or maybe I'm frustrated with myself or disappointed. And, I pray, one of my prayers is, Lord, forgive me for my faults and my failures. There's so many aspects in our life that, at least in my life, where I feel like I fail God, fail, you know, at times I feel like I fail my family, fail, you know, my employer, my friends at times. You know, there's moments for all of us to feel like that we're second class or, you know, third rate, or, you know, we just don't live up to expectations. But I'm going to tell you that the Bible says that the love of Christ, that Christ loves us. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you know, I should tell you that I had four brothers. One of them's passed on. But the love that I've felt from the Lord through my life has been greater than any love that my brothers ever showed me. Now, I love my brothers in the Lord. I feel very fortunate to have made good friends, both in this church and the churches that we fellowship with and have, you know, known through the years. You know, I've felt this way all day. I feel so fortunate to have made good friends in the body of Christ. Men that I would consider, you know, men that I could lay my wallet down, my keys down. I could even lay my phone down and not worry about it being hacked. Or that happens, don't it? But you know, I felt this way all day. I felt very thankful for the men and the women, the brothers and the sisters that I have in the family of God. And so I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I really did. I work. Some days I work harder than others. Some days I take it harder than others. But I look forward to Wednesday night service. It's a highlight in my week. It gives me an opportunity to set aside, you know, the things that I've been, you know, dwelling on or focused on, and it gives me an opportunity to just let the Lord just touch me, just help me, comfort me. Praise God. The Bible says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's such a value, isn't there, of coming out to the house of God. It, you know, it's not about building big churches. It's not about taking, building, you know, memorials or look what I did. It's not about that. That's not what coming out to the house of God is about. What coming out to the house of God is about fellowship. It's about finding forgiveness. It's about finding healing. Coming out to the house of God is about finding happiness. Praise God. Coming out to the house of God is about finding peace of mind. Hallelujah. The Bible says a peace that passes all understanding. My God, where can you go tonight in Little Rock to find a peace that passes all understanding? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Coming out to the house of God is about finding friends, loyal, lifelong friends. Coming out to the house of God is about finding love. Oh, hallelujah, even when you're unlovable. My Lord, coming out to the house of God is about finding all the good things that you hope and dream and aspire for. You can be inspired in the house of God. Hallelujah. You can find yourself in the mully grubs. You can find yourself, you know, just feeling second rate, third rate, fourth rate, feeling like you're just a nobody, not important, insignificant. You can find yourself thinking that I don't matter to nobody in the world, but you can come out to the house of God and it's not long before you find yourself feeling the love of God and you begin to realize that He holds the whole world in His hand. He created the universe. He set the stars and the moon in their spot, thank God. But He took time out to touch your heart and my heart. He took just a little bit of time to let you know that you're that much important to Him. Hallelujah. Even though He holds the Bible says that He holds the kings in His hand, He still took time for you and me. Well, that's what coming out to the house of God is for. Praise God. What if kingdoms crumble down? What if storm clouds roll? Thank God I know who holds my future in His hands. Thank God, and I'm going to praise Him. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. You know, the animals, the birds and all the things that we admire in nature, you know, they praise God just by their existence. They're you know, flourishing, their seasons, it comes and goes, and their colors and all the things that we admire about the ever-changing world. That's God's creation, and that's an all. It's a monument, or it's a testimony, a daily testimony of how great God is. You know, just like this morning, I think it was. If you looked up in the sky and saw the sun trying to peek past those clouds, and how pretty it was this morning, and you know, all the green trees and the flowers that are blooming, and the honeysuckle in the air, and you know, the birds, and all, you see the squirrels out, and rabbits, and things like that. You know, you're seeing life just springing forth. Thank God, and you know, you're seeing all this flourishing here in front of our very eyes. It's just a testimony of how marvelous God is, and you know, he knew that nature needed seasons. He knew that nature needed you know, a spring, a summer, a fall, a winter. He knew, you know, the Bible says that there's a time and season for all things in the book of Ecclesiastes. He understands all that. And He understands all that about us too. He understands that there's moments in our lives that we're on high. We're just, everything's going right. Everything is hunky-dory. Everything is just perfect. And He understands that there's times in our life when things just aren't. Things just don't seem right. Things just can't, you know, two and two don't make four. Nothing seems to add up properly. Everything seems out of order or chaotic. He understands all those things too. My Lord, aren't you glad that He said He'd never leave you or forsake you? I sure am. I'm thankful. I want Him to create in me the same kind of beauty, the same kind of life cycle, if you will, the same kind of however long or old the world is. Can just consider for a moment. You know, when He planted the first seed in the ground and it grew up, you know, and it went into a flower or a fruit or whatever, and then it died and went back in the ground and it grew up. You know, that's eternal. That's a measure, if you will, of eternal life. It's just a continued cycle of life. And so I want God, you know, if I have to go through moments in my life where I have I flourish, I blossom, and then maybe die down a little bit, and I go through times like this. Y'all may not experience this, but I do. I'm a developer for, you know, I develop databases, and I have other projects that interest me, but I get really intense. Sometimes I just get so inspired, and you couldn't force me to go to sleep, because my ideas are just rolling, and you know, sometimes I wake up at night and I have to write stuff down, because if I don't, I'll forget it. But then there's times where I don't even want to look at a computer or any of my, you know, wife's projects that she's got assigned to. I don't want to look at any of that stuff. I don't want to think about anything. My mind's tired. My body's tired. My focus is gone. I don't have any interest. I'm just trying to rest. Hey, God knows about all that. He knows what my mind and my body needs. He knows what my soul needs. He sees me just like He saw the world. We all go through these times and seasons in our life, but You know, one of the most important things that you can do, and Brother Smith has said this many times, is don't stop serving Him. Don't stop going to the house of God. Don't stop. Don't quit. You know, I like that saying, we're not down. We're either up or getting up. Yeah, you may need to rest. Your body may, you know, there's times I've just shut down. Brother McGowan, there's times mentally I'm done. I can't focus. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't focus. I wasn't done. It was just a season. Just resting for a season. So you may feel that way. You may be in a state of mind right now where you're just two and two don't make four. You can't connect the dots. Whatever the case may be. Thank God. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. Thank God. There's people counting on you. I'm counting on you. We're counting on each other. Hallelujah. We're in this together. We're workers and laborers together in the house of God. Praise God. Aren't you glad for First Gospel Church in Little Rock, Arkansas? Hallelujah. I sure am. I'm sure glad to be a part of it. Glad to be working here and laboring here. Thank God. And lifting up the standard and letting God know that I love Him and I love His people and I love the work that He's doing. Hallelujah. And even when my mind's tired or when my body's tired, I still want to be a part. Hallelujah. Even if it's just keeping the doors, empty the trash, whatever the case may be. I still want to know, I want God to know that I'm happy. Hallelujah, to be a part of what He's doing in the earth today. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I was thinking this week, and I should have studied it. I've been studying on it. I just can't hardly get my mind around it. But I was thinking about Timothy and how that his mother and his grandmother, his mother married a Greek man, and obviously they weren't. She was a Jewish woman, and it's obvious by some things. You know, the fact that he was circumcised later as a teenager, it was obvious that they didn't keep the Jewish faith. You know, and I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about Timothy's mother and his grandmother, and how that they. In spite of their circumstance of not being in a Jewish synagogue, not associating with Jewish people on a regular basis, they still made sure that that boy was educated. They still took the time to make sure that he was familiar with the ways of the Lord, and their sacrifice, their labor of love, their determination paid off, didn't it? You know, Paul came to town, and God put him and Timothy together, and Timothy was a great servant to the Apostle Paul. There's no doubt about it. But I was thinking about that. You know, I think about these things. There's a lot of people that would like to be in this church tonight. And they just can't seem to make their way through those doors. They just can't seem to get here. There's whatever hindrance. And there may be moments in your life where you feel like you're just hindered, like there's just a roadblock, that there's just something that's preventing you. Well, I want to encourage you to follow the example of Timothy. Follow the example of Timothy's mother. Her name escapes me right now. Eunice and Lois was his grandma, right, thank you. And Eunice was his mom's name. And so follow their example. Don't, even if you find yourself outside, or if you find yourself sometimes on the fringe, or if you find yourself on the, trying to make your way in, don't lose hold of what God gave you, thank God. Don't lose hold of this vision that the Lord has planted in your life. You're not here by chance. The Lord brought you here for a reason. Praise God. And then don't quit. Don't quit praying. Don't quit studying. Don't quit thinking about God and His people. Don't quit thinking about those that aren't here. Keep praying and studying and asking God, beseeching God for their mercy. Thank God. You know, because you don't know. You know, I'm sure there. You know, I'm surmising a little bit. I'm sure that Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mom and grandma, or just the opposite, I'm sure they never in their life imagined the Apostle Paul. Can you believe that? The Apostle Paul wants to take our son with him on his journey. That had to blow their mind. I'm sure the day before they met him, they'd probably heard about the Christian faith. They might have heard about some of the things that went on in Jerusalem. I don't know. You know, again, it's not clear everything that went on in their life. It's not clear to me why, and Brother Smith may know right away, why his mother married a Greek man. I don't know if she was sold into marriage. I don't know if she was a slave or a bondwoman. There's so many things in my mind. How do you get, you know, you think, how do you get from Jerusalem? I should have studied on this. And I don't even have my Bible to look it up. To the city. I'm sorry. I did study on it, but my mind's tired, I guess. But they weren't in Jerusalem, I can tell you that. They were quite a ways away. And, you know, I think, how do you lose contact? How do you lose contact with your people? It's a good question, isn't it? It's happened. It's happened to me. Little Rock wasn't my home. But this is where God put me. I thank God for that. How did she lose contact? How did she get removed from her people? I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm going to tell you something. Whatever happened, she didn't let it hinder her faith. She didn't let that... Brother Daniels, I'm so happy to see you tonight. We have been missing you on this platform. It's good to see you, Brother Daniels. How did they get removed from their Jewish faith? I don't know the answer to that question, but they didn't let that stop them from going forward. You know, and that's the thing. I guess if I had to say anything, and that's what I felt when I woke up this morning, is, you know, I understand yesterday. I understand the regrets of yesterday. I understand the frustrations of yesterday. But guess what? The sun rose this morning. Today is a new day. Thank God. The Lord allowed me to wake up this morning and smell the honeysuckle and feel the cool breeze on my face. See the clouds. See the sun peeking through the clouds. The Lord allowed me this morning to take a breath and to give Him praise. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me one more day to live and walk and trust and believe that He loves me. He knows my circumstance. He knows where I live. He's got my telephone number. He's got my email address. He knows my physical address. He knows everything about me. The Bible says that He even knows the very thoughts and intents of my heart. Thank God. But guess what? He still let me get up this morning. He still let me put my mind on Him. He still gave me the opportunity to pray and ask Him to forgive me. He still gave me the opportunity to say, Lord, I love You and I trust You come what may. Thank God. He still gave me the opportunity to hug my wife's neck and hug my children's neck and tell them I love them. He still gave me the opportunity to come out to the house of God. Thank God. To find the joy, the love, the peace, the happiness that I'm looking for in my life. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Ain't God good? I'm happy to be in First Gospel tonight. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You,
Lord. Oh, He didn't have to bless me, but He did. No, He didn't have to bless me, but He did. Well, He walked. Walk me up.
He's worthy of our praise. And he didn't have to heal us. But I'm thankful that we're serving a God that you don't have to, you know, sometimes you have to do favors for people to get help from them. But God helps us anyway. You know, he loves us anyway, like Brother Painter said. It rains on the unjust as well as the just. So he don't hold that against us, but he just extends mercy to us, allow us to come to him. You know, he don't. Sometimes it's hard to get over things that people do, and it's hard to have a forgiving heart. But God don't hold that against us. You know, he don't, our nature, if we even let our nature take over our lives and take control of us when we should yield to God and let him take control of us, he still don't hold that against us. So I'm thankful tonight that we're in a house of worship, that we can lift up the name of Jesus and know that he's been this way. He was here. He was wrapped in flesh and blood, but is tempted in all points, the Bible says, that yet without sin. And that to me, that really, I look at that and I think, you know, sometimes when you think about how what we talk about making perfection and talk about overcoming our nature, and when I think about our Savior and think about that He had the exact same nature that we have, that we talk about a lot, and but He didn't allow that to hinder Him totally from, you know, like I listened to Brother Smith over the weekend about these thoughts. I appreciate what he said about when these thoughts are conceived. You know, I heard people say that, you know, birds' thoughts are like birds flying over your head. You know, they're just thoughts. You know, just like a bird flying over your head. But when you let the thoughts get conceived, when they that's when you get in trouble. When they become conceived. So anyway, that I picked that up from Sunday Bible study, and I do appreciate. You know, knowing that, you know, we have to, and the Bible talks about guarding our heart. You know, and I think it said keep your heart with all diligence, because out of that comes the issues of life. So there are things that we have to do, and that's what Jesus did. You know, he didn't just come down here and just live any old way and just live however he wanted to. You know, he had to do some things to allow God to help him walk this walk, this way that he's walking. And we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to allow God to do something. We're going to have to realize we need his help. You know, we're not here. We can't do this ourselves, but we're going to have God's help. And I guess Jesus recognized that early in his life, that he was not here just, you know, God didn't just set him down here and he to do whatever he wanted to do or do his own thing. But he realized early on that he was not here to do his will. And that's another thought Brother Smith had about crucifying our will. And that's what I know that's what we have to do. We have to eventually, you know, I think you might have said sacrifice. Will, you know, we have to give that up, and that's not, I'm not saying that's easy, but that's what we have to do. We have to give up our will. We have to sacrifice our will to be able to go with God. So anyway, we're here tonight, and we're blessed. We're here to praise him. You know, we're in his house, so we're here to praise God and lift him up. And but we have needs that we need to pray for, and conditions. We have visitors. We have a visitor here tonight. Appreciate him. David Ellis. Good to have him here tonight. He moved here from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Good to have you here, Brother David. And I hope you like something about us. Somebody used to say about things that we, you know, there's something about us I'm sure you can like. We reach out. We're people that would try to reach out and to God's people. We want to make you feel at home, make you feel welcome, and want you feel a part. You know, because we're not selfish people, okay? We don't want to just, you know, God has blessed us, and we don't want to just hold on to everything God has given us, just, you know, being selfish. But we want to share. We want to be able to share with others. And Dylan, where's Dylan? I don't see. He's outside. But anyway, I'm glad, going to be thankful that he's back in church tonight, back home. So anyway, we're going to thankful for that. But anyway, God is good to us. We got to do a double portion on our offering, because since we're missing the weekend, we won't be taking up any offering Sunday. So that's all. We got to take up a Wednesday night and Sunday offering in one, okay? Like they call a two-in-one. Seen a two-in-one order, but this is a two-in-one offering. So anyway, let's keep that in mind. I really do appreciate God appreciate Brother Painter's enthusiasm and reaching out and letting us know we're here to pray. We came here to praise God. You know, this is his house. You know, and he's worthy of all the praise that men can give him. And if I can, whatever I can muster, you know, whatever praise I can have strength to exhibit for God, because he's worthy. And he's allowed us to be partakers in the things that he got in this earth. He let us in on it. You know, God has got some great things going on, and he let us get in on it. And that's what I'm glad about. I've heard people talk about some good business opportunities, and they said they got in on the ground floor. But here with God, we're in on what God is doing. You know, he's not finished with this world. And they let us get a little insight on what he's doing, and we'll be a part of it. You know, we can be a part of it. You know, and he's not just wanting to, you know, just get a select few, but he's opened his arms to us, and it's whosoever will, the Bible says. So really, I have to just measure up. That's what I have to do, is be able to measure up to what God is doing, and want to have that desire in my heart to want to be a part of what he's doing. And I do want to be a part of what God is doing. I see that, and he deal with people that are willing and that have a desire. You know, he want us to find out about him and to love him and to, you know, if it's some, that God has secret things. He has secret places. And so we can get in a secret place with God. And we can learn about God's secrets. You know, he don't just, he says that even from the wise and prudent, what he said about them. He said these things are hidden from the wise and prudent, but they are revealed unto babes. And that just says that people that are humble enough to realize they need God. You know, if you're a babe in God, that means you're humble, that you need him. And God can help us, you know, if we consider ourselves. You know, sometimes you can get pretty haughty about things in life, and you have some good things happen to you, but we have to remember, you know. The Bible said about Saul, the statement he made about him, that when he was small in his own eyes, you know, God used him for a while. But he was small at one time in his own eyes, you know. We have to be small in our own eyes, you know. I know some people already think we're small, but we have to be small in our own eyes. And then God can do something for us, you know. He can help us. You know, that's what I want to do. I don't want to ever get to where I can't see that I need God, that I'm doing so much. I'm doing so much, but I know if it wasn't for him, you know, I couldn't do anything. So anyway, let's take this offering up, and we're going to pray as well for God's people. I'm sure there are lots of needs. Sister Brian. Okay. And they're promising her, well, they've told her that she can. Okay. I know she's looking forward to it. Let's pray for Sister Crow that this procedure will help her. Okay. Any other? Sister Brother Scott. Amos 60. Remember Amy. Tonight. Good to see Sister Smith. Sister Smith said you were sick, Sister Smith. Good to see you out tonight. Bless you. All right. Anybody else? So I remember those needs. Pray for them. Eleanor, okay. Matthew Love, okay. Who's that? Somebody have a hand up. Elisha. Remember that. Somebody pray for. Okay. Brother Matt. Brother Spafford. Yeah, that's one. Lower. Blood sugar. Let's pray for Brother State, because I know he was said he'd try to be here tonight. Let's remember him, Sister Abraham. All right, let's remember that. Jonathan, he's here in church tonight. All right. Coming up, okay, remember Tuesday, all right, remember Sundays, all right. Same with them. All right, your uncle, all right, remember the Mike's uncle, all right. Remember Dylan. Good to have you here, Dylan. God bless you. I don't know if you can heal up in 30 days, but anyway, this is a time of rest, Brother Painter said. Sometime you have to rest. This is your time. All right. I guess if the usher come, we'll do a. Let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and pray that God will touch his people, touch the conditions, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you for just having this opportunity, Lord, to come before you. Lord, lift our voices, Lord, for your people, God, for their needs, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, God, we thank you for this time. Lift our voices, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. Remember each need, spoken and unspoken request, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, bless it be yours. Oh, bless it be yours. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God.
Sister, we need your Lord.
Oh. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you.
Well, it's good to be in the house of God tonight. Appreciate the good words and the good songs that we've heard. And thoughts that were brought out. Appreciate these things. Brother Painter's message, being thankful, and the songs that we started out with. What was the song you started out with, sisters? Yeah. What was some more of it? No, not that one, the first one. Yeah, I give thanks to you, sing praise to you. That's where Brother Painter picked up his thought, I thought, that he did. And I thought of the scripture in Psalms 22 where Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, he mentioned that God inhabits the praises of Israel. And I remember when I thought about that. What does that mean? You know, why would, of course, to get his thought on it and the context he said it in, it takes some explaining, but still, I know the reality of it, that God's not just interested in people worshiping him or praising him for the sake of, you know, lifting up hands or vocally giving him praising recognition, but he actually inhabits, he actually dwells in our lives. And if God's brought you out of this world, Brother Painter mentioned the difficulty that is in this world today, that I listened today to the president, you know, talking about this situation in these VA hospitals. And I'm afraid somebody's going to be the scapegoat on that. But I'm afraid the truth of it is that there's not wasn't enough funds appropriated, and they couldn't properly take care of people, and they just done what they could do with the appropriation of funds that they had. But now it's come out, and so somebody's gonna get the blunt of it. But you can be sure none of these politicians are gonna take the blame. And this, we're living in a world that's a complicated world, and there's difficulties on every hand. But for God to bring you out of that, there's a scripture I want to read to you in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and I'm not going to preach. It's about time to go home, but I just thought I'd mention this. Brother Painter stirred up my mind, so blame him if I talk too long. Anyway, but in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, and that's one of our cardinal chapters in the Bible, but I want to start in the 17th verse, where it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Then he said, "Who being past feeling," did you know people can get past feeling where you can't feel God? You can't, you're alienated from the things of God. Your understanding's darkened, and our heart, we've become blind because of our heart. Jesus mentioned some things about that in Mark, the 7th chapter, I believe it is, where he talked about it's not the things that you take into your life that defile you, but it's the things that come out, the things that are within the heart that defiles you. And uh, I was just thinking about this scripture of being past feeling and how that God brought us out of that. There was a time that I can be thankful tonight because I've never been past feeling. God's always been able to touch me and cause me to feel something about God in my life. I'm thankful for that. Dear God, what would it be like to be with past feeling? No feeling of God. You can't touch God. I don't know either how Timothy's dad, he was a Greek, and evidently, according to the 16th chapter of Acts, he was evidently ungodly. He wasn't a godly man. I don't know why Eunice married him, but evidently they got off. You know, the Jews did, they migrated up into Asia, down into Egypt, and even into Africa, and a lot of places that they probably shouldn't have been, just like what's happened in this Gentile world. You could trace your history. If you're an American, you can almost trace your history back to some godly heritage. Because our forefathers came to this country because they feared God and they wanted a place that they could freely worship Him. Got out of false religion and a dictatorial religious system and came here and set up the separation of church and state where man could worship God, not be dictated who or how he worshiped him. And they believed in the Word of God, and this country was founded on the righteousness of the Word of God. So if you were born in this country, you're blessed because you've got heritage that goes back to a righteous people that were seeking for God and seeking a nation, one nation under God. I know we've lost a lot of that, and some are past feeling today, but we have a heritage, saints. Something we've got something to be blessed of, like Timothy. He had a connection through his mother, and she was a Jew, and her mother was a Jew and married to a Jew, and so there was something there that gave them that connection. And I'm thankful tonight, dear Lord. There's people in this world that are past feeling, but before God was able to really get a hold of me, I was a young man trying to find my way in this life. And I had a lot of baggage. But God kept tugging at my heartstring. God kept dealing with me. I was just a young man out of high school. I didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do. And I never will forget the day that there were several times that I cried out to God. I remember one particular, I've told you all about it before, where I walked down that country lane out of Mom and Dad. I moved from Houston, Texas, back to Mother and Dad's house in San Antonio and was going to go to college. Did go to college there for a while, but wound up in the Army. It was during the Vietnam War, so it didn't take them long to scarf me up and get me in the midst of all of that. But I was still looking for my way, and I still could feel God, and I knew I was out without God. I mean, I was raised in church, but I was out of church. I was backslid. I walked down that old country. I walked out Mother and Dad's old screen door on the front porch and just walked down their lane. It was about probably half a quarter mile to the gate, to the road. I walked down there and pulled an L&M cigarette out of my pocket and lit it up and started walking down the road. And I got about halfway down that lane and tears started running down my face. And I looked up in heaven. I said, God, I need you. I need your help. I was confused, and I had a lot of things that were hindering me. I'd got entangled in things and different situations in life that, you know, young men, if you're not careful, you'll get entangled in the things of this world. But it wasn't but just a few more steps and I started calling out to him and I fell on my face in that old dirt road. I don't know what happened to that L&M cigarette, but I never did see it again. But you remember them? And I wasn't on my face very long without speaking in tongues, Brother Daniels. I received the Holy Ghost when I was just a little boy, 12 years old, and I hadn't touched God. I wasn't past feeling, but I'd go many days without feeling God. But He was still dealing with me. What a Savior. That night, I got up from there feeling washed and clean again. God touched me right there. This scripture I mentioned in where God inhabits the praises. That's why you praise Him, is because He touches you. He reaches out to you and touches your life and helps you to know that He loves you and cares about you and wants to save you. When you turn your life over to Him and come to Him and He begins to work in your life, time after time, He'll lift you up again. You'll hit bumps. You'll have difficulties. What's that song said? He never promised. It's a song in the world. Never promised you a rose garden. Well, God never promised you any, He just promised you He'd be with you. He'd go with you and He'd protect you and take care of you. But He'll let you go through things. That's how you learn right from wrong. It's how you have to go through experiences. But God's there all the time. And if you'll keep serving Him, we teach this. God's judgment is manyfold. First, it's just informative. God first has to inform you of His word and the righteousness that He's called you to. The righteousness of His word or His ways or His character. And then He instructs. It informs you, and in that information you get instruction. What to do, what not to do. Some part of this is on you. It's on me. It's what I'm supposed to serve Him. I'm supposed to. You'll have to suffer. You'll have to suffer to push the flesh back. One of the words that Paul used several times. Jesus used it once, I know. There in Mark 7, where I was mentioning lasciviousness, which means to go to the excess. To go out of the boundaries of what's right. To give over to the lust of the flesh. Go too far. He mentioned it. Well, but for God to deal with us. Pull us back. Give us some boundaries. You can't feel good about yourself if you don't have any integrity about doing right. If you're holding some discipline in your life of righteousness, you'll have some integrity. Not just with, you got to have integrity with yourself to hold your head up and serve God in righteousness. It's God doing it, but you've got to have integrity. You've got to believe in, you've got to feel good about the fact that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what's right. And when God starts dealing with your life and lifts you up out of the pit, and helps get you walking in His ways, and He helps you, and you feel His help, and His, He begins to touch your understanding. That word's right here in the 19th. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. The reason that word greediness is there is it is greedy. When you do your own will, you're full of greed. In other words, everything's about me. You ever met anybody that everything's about them? I have. You got to get to a place where this is not all about, this isn't, it's about me being saved, but it's about God having His way in my life, not me having my way. And Him opening my understanding and helping me in those areas. He tells you here later to put off concerning the former conversation or the old man, the old life. The scripture in 1 Peter 4, while I'm on this, it's just come to my mind. Let me just read that. For a while, Brother Weiniger said, I've got to give you something. You're not going to be here this weekend. But I'm not going to give you the whole bale. But in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, it says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. What suffering did He do? He didn't just suffer death, but He suffered first to do His Father's will and not give over to His own will. Look, God created this. You and I are part of God's creation, and He created us for the purpose of us doing His will. And here's the kicker. We're not doing His will because He wants us to do what He wants us to do. We're to do His will because it's the only thing that'll make you happy. It's the only thing that'll satisfy your soul. It's for God to show you the right way to live. That's why He wants you to do His will, because it's the will you should have, and you will come to it if you'll follow Him. You'll follow His instructions. You have to get His instructions. Then another level of His judgment is corrective judgment. He'll correct you. Then here in 1 Peter, for us to suffer. Arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. See, that context helps you to understand it's talking about discipline in your life, having enough discipline to do the will of God. Well, first you've got to be informed. What is His will? What is His instructions? You've got to learn of Him. You've got to follow Him. You've got to be a part of His family. And that's part of what Brother Painter was talking about today. You'll have praises if you turn your life over to God and serve Him and follow Him. He'll begin to work in your life, and you'll begin to be thankful for what God's brought you out of and saved you from, and you'll have praise. You'll have worship. You'll have an understanding, a greater understanding of Him and His purpose for you. Let me read just a little bit more here, because it's a scripture I'm wanting to get to. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. I'm working on that word. Lust. Excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? So you'll have trouble when you turn your life over to God. People that you've ran with and been entangled with, they're gonna think it's strange because you won't run with them again in the same riot of excess. And they'll speak evil of you. It'll take time to pull yourself out of that life and get yourself connected with the family of God and people of God where there's safety from all of that. And they'll, he said, they'll give account to him that's ready to judge the quick and the dead. Now right there, well, let's read the next verse. For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. How can they, this can't be talking about graveyard dead, because how could they live, according to God in the spirit after God's preached the gospel to them? It's talking about people that are dead in trespasses of sins. He's ready to judge the quick, those of you that's been quickened by God. This process of judgment I'm talking about, informative, instructive, even corrective judgment. And finally, you'll finally be eternally judged, either worthy of eternal life or worthy of death. But a punishment. You may go into God's punishment. That's a stronger, God's vengeance is his wrath is something stronger than correction. But if you're his child, he's going to do everything he can to save you. You ought to just thank God if he, when God deals with you, you just have to thank God that he loves you enough he wants to save you. And there ought to be a praise in our heart for that when we begin to realize it, that God loved me enough to keep dealing with me, keep letting me feel his, him tugging at my heartstring. I have a praise tonight. I was almost without feeling, seemed like, when God touched me that day on that old country lane. And I got up from there, and I didn't make it all the way right then, but it was a touch. That's something marvelous about God, is that he'll just, how's that scripture on a smoking flax? He won't break a bruised reed or quench a smoking flax. If there's a spark there, there's something there God can touch in your life, he'll fan it. He'll try to get the fire going again. He won't let you die out. Or if you're already down, he won't. If you're a bruised reed, if you're bruised in this life, he won't go ahead and break you, but he'll nurture you back to life. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God tonight. I'm happy tonight because he loved me enough to save me. Here I am. I'm still in the house of God all these many years, and I didn't know that night. I didn't know where I was going to go, where I was going to wind up, or what I was going to be in this life. There was a lot of different things that I'd already tasted of this world. God loved me enough. He gave me a touch to let me know, son, I'm real. I still love you. I still want to help you. And he gave me enough touches. The next touch was when my wife was laying on her deathbed. We had a little six-month-old boy. It looked like his mama was going to die. I still wasn't living right. And the night before they operated on her, told me she'd be a mental, she never would have her right mind and be an invalid if she did live, but they didn't think she would. I pulled out on that highway and said, God, if you'll touch her and save her, I'll serve you. I didn't no more get that out of my mouth. I had to pull over in a ditch. Started speaking in tongues again, Brother Tally. He touched me again. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his wonderful name. He didn't let me go. And he did touch her. Took me at my word. So, God, he's judging us. We're under God's judgment. He's continuing to give us more and of understanding of his righteousness, more of what he requires of us. To him who much is given, much is required. But we're But he gives us the wherewithal to come up with it. He gives us the strength. He gives us the understanding and the desire, the zeal to serve him, to live right. So he's dwelling in our praises, saints. When you give him a praise, it's because he's worked something in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I know we're not going to have service this weekend, but I want you all to enjoy your time off. Brother Dylan, it's good to see you. Glad to have you. We've been missing you around here. You've done got yourself entangled with something that we can't get you out of, but God can. We'll just see if the Lord will help us with that. Yet you might have to fall on your face in the dirt before this 30 days is over to make sure he's going to help you. Jonathan, it's good to see you. You ought to make that trip with me down that old dirt lane. Fall on your face and ask God. God, touch me and help me. Did you ever get the Holy Ghost yet, Brother Jonathan? In some of the services here? All right. It's still there. It's still there. Don't get past feeling. If you'll reach out to him, he'll reach back to you every time. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's have a chorus before we go home. Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again. Can we sing that before we go home? I just feel like singing that. Every once in a while, right now, I think I need to go somewhere and just fall on my face and get a hold of God. Get lost in the Spirit of God. We can't do that in every service, but there's times when we need it. Times when we need it. Amen. All right, let's sing that.
Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again, Lord. Let the manna fall from on high.
Oh, hallelujah.
Wherever I'm going,
where you
are.
Lord. Bless the Lord.
Praise God.
All right. Y'all stay saved for another 10 days. I'm just joking. I know better. Have a good Memorial Day weekend that's coming up. Yes. Yes. Is it Friday night, 7 o'clock? 7:30. What's the name of the UALR? Is that where it is? 7 o'clock, his graduation Friday night, and Lisa's is 11 o'clock Saturday morning. Is that right? Huh? 11:30. All right. 7 and 11:30 Saturday morning. 7:30 Friday night. All right. Shake hands and be friendly. God bless your hearts.